It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, it's your old buddy Luke Clayton, and welcome to our weekly outdoor show. We've been doing this show right here on KETR for almost 8 years. Doesn't seem like it. It's been so much fun. I enjoy it as much today as when I started doing it back years ago. We always try to cover the gamut in the outdoors. If you've listened to it long, you know that. And I always try to share something that I've learned or something that's going on in the outdoors, spread a little information to you. And this week, a longtime friend of mine, Tony Parker, who's guided out at Tawakoni since he was a kid, really a teenager, I should say, and he's guided at Cooper. Tony kind of put Cooper on the map. Cooper Lake, you know, which is right in the heart of KETR country. Fishing is red hot right now at Cooper, if you read the Greenville Herald Banner or a bunch of other newspapers that run my column. This week, actually this Thursday, it was in the Greenville paper, but pretty good in-depth information on Cooper and Tony's fishing out there. So check that out if you haven't seen it, this past Thursday's paper. And let's visit with Mr. Parker here, and let's get some tips and let him tell you what's going on. Tony, thank you, buddy, for spending some time with us.
Well, Luke, thanks for having me.
And thanks for taking me fishing this week, me and Mr. Darrell Margraf. We had a ball. We spent about hour and a half, 2 hours, and we caught our limit before then even, and just spent a little more time catching out there. Gosh, I mean, I fished Cooper with you back in the day when it was, I don't think it was any better back then than it is right now. But Cooper has had a couple of off years, and it just got red hot this year, right, this summer.
Exactly. With the low water that we've had in the last few years and the cold winter that we had, it did suffer a couple of years there, and which I actually – moved back to Tawakoni and was guiding on Tawakoni, Luke, and got some good reports, went back and checked it out again, and boy, did it ever come back really, really well.
Yep, it could not, I mean, it was red hot, and it's been that way, I guess, through the summer?
Exactly. It has been that way, you know, for the last couple of months anyway. I've officially moved, you know, my operation back over there on Cooper about a month ago, I think. And it's just been a slugfest ever since I've been back.
Well, you know, something that I learned from you on Cooper, and I know it to be a fact, a lot of fishermen are, you know, up 2 hours before the crack of dawn and on the water when you can just enough light to see. You don't necessarily have to do that on Cooper, and you made a comment, do you think I'd be out in the you know, hot part of the afternoon if it wasn't red hot fishing? And my answer was no, and you showed me that, yeah, that's why we're there. Afternoon fishing, which is ideal for taking kids. You know, kiddos in the summer have a tendency, some of them want to sleep in a little bit, you know.
Well, exactly. If you have a ways to drive, you know, if you're going to be driving an hour and a half, or an hour and a half from a Metroplex, Cooper sets up perfect. I mean, I actually do better on Cooper if I start in the afternoon than I do if I start at daylight.
Yep.
It's been that way ever since I've guided on it.
Well, you know, finding fish, now, I never, you know, fishermen savvy all this if they fish a lot. Cooper or any other lake, you're not going to just drive out there, drop a bait in the water, and just get eat up. That's not the way fishing works. But if you have, Tony, I think you could elaborate a little bit on this. Read your sonar, find the structures, and if you can find the structures, which is pretty darn easy to do this day and time, you know, you're going to find the fish every point, submerged point and hump that you took us to, and I think we fished three different ones. We'd leave them biting, and you know, you'd say, well, we could go check another one, and then we'd go there, and bingo, they were there. So finding structure is a key, isn't it?
Right. And nowadays with GPSs and the mapping cards and stuff like that, I mean, you know, like on my graph, I showed you that the complete lake bottom is on my graph with a mapping card. And you're basically just looking for the fish. I mean, it's hunting plus fishing. You've got to find them in order to catch them. once you find them, they're easy to catch.
Exactly. And, you know, I want to go into a little detail, too, Tony, on the technique. I've been, writing about the outdoors and for a long time and fishing all my life and hunting. I have, but I never go fishing, especially for what I call the schooling species, sand bass, hybrids, or stripers. When we're slab fishing, I never go that I don't ask whoever I'm fishing with, well, how do they like it? What I mean is, what's the best way to present it? And little subtle things in the bait presentation mean the world on catching them, don't they?
Exactly. It really does. And, I mean, there are several ways to catch them. The way we were doing it, Luke, is and I try to keep it as simple as possible. When I started doing this, I wanted a technique that would work for everybody. You know, anyone that could pick up a rod and reel could do it. And basically, you're just dropping a bait to the bottom while the boat's drifting over the structure. Once it hits the bottom, reel it up three times and push a button and drop it back down. It's just that simple.
Exactly. And, you know, I was trying some other techniques, lifting it and letting it flutter back down. There was something about those cranks on the reel, three or four cranks, that jerks that bait pretty quick through there. They're aggressive right now. And I do believe that the instant that I noticed on many occasions, the instant that bait stopped, when I quit cranking or when it hit the bottom, bam, you know, just right there, that's when they hit.
That's when they're going to hit it.
They on the pause, you might say.
Well, not only that, but on the reels nowadays, every turn of the reel handle, you'll take in about 2 foot of line. So we're actually bringing the bait up on three cranks, 6 foot off the bottom. Well, you're not only catching the fish that's laying right on the bottom, you're catching the fish that's suspended up feeding just a little bit as well.
Yep, and how many times have you had fish when you're especially white bass, sand bass, you know, or hybrids or stripers, follow a bait right on up to the boat. So you can picture what's happening down there when you're cranking it up 6 feet and letting it fall. A lot of that probably triggers fish from, you know, fit several feet away. They see that movement, they hone in, they get in there close, and then bam, when it slows down, it's more they can handle, isn't it?
You know? Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, those suspended fish, we catch a lot of fish. I mean, at times they'll be suspended out over deep water, and you'll be reeling the bait, you know, way up or all the way in and then dropping it back down, and all you're doing is just trying to get a reaction strike out of them. You know, they have two chances to hit the bait, one when it comes up by them and the other one when it goes down by them.
Exactly. And of course, some really chunky sand bass we took. I don't know, Derek, you of course, folks, Tony filleted a good mess for Daryl. He was looking to have a big fish fry, Tony, and that he's got the makings of, you know. Some really good fillets. And then we kept a few hybrids, you know, hybrid stripers. And those on the half shell, we call it, that became cooking method, became popular with the redfish down on the coast. But, you know, you basically just filleted those for him down the backbone and left the scales on, right?
Yes, sir, I did.
Well, that's a good way to – you can take those and put some Cajun seasoning and some butter and – little lemon juice. Tony, I'm telling you what, hybrids to me are I love the flavor and the texture on those things are really good. I know you like to cook them too, don't you?
Oh, I do love to cook them. Now, I've never cooked them on the half shell like that. I like to, you know, they do have a red stripe in them,
yep.
like a striper, and I like to remove that. But I like to fry mine as well.
Oh, yeah. It's they're just a... I tell people, and actually I think I kind of offend some of my buddies that are crappie nuts, I call them. Now, I love crappie. If you like fish, I mean, crappie is a neutral flavored fish. People that don't even like fish will eat crappie. Same as a walleye up north. Just a mild flavored fish. But I tell them, if I had my choice of crappie fillets, and okay, folks, I know I'm going to ruffle some feathers now. But if I had my choice of crappie fillets or hybrid fillets cut in strips, finger-sized strips, and seasoned really well and fried, I'll take the hybrid fillets, Tony. Now, that's going out
too,
there. I didn't know, but I thought you might.
No, I will too. They're my favorite. I just like the texture of them better. The flavor is pretty much the same. And you're right. You're going to get an argument on that. You know, I get an argument on that all the time, but each is to their own, and I just prefer the thicker fillets.
I do too, and I like when you trim the red meat out. And another trick, we're kind of getting away from fishing technique to preparing it for the table, but that's part of a fishing trip. For me, it always has been. I noticed, and I do the same thing. When you're filleting a sand bass or a hybrid or a striper, when you're running that knife down the skin side, you let it ride up just a little bit, and it leaves about 80% of the red meat on the skin,
Yes, sir, it does. And I tell you another trick, too, after you get it filleted and you get the red thawed out of it, put it in a bowl of water and put it in the ice box. You can leave it in the ice box overnight or longer in just a bowl of water, and it'll actually soak a lot of that fat and stuff out of it.
It kind of pulls it to the surface in a little light trimming. A little trick I like on sand bass I learned years ago, and it does. I can just take it and dust it with cornmeal and fry it, season it up, and it's great. But take some buttermilk and some not Tabasco necessarily, but Louisiana, some of the cheaper hot sauce, Evangeline, Louisiana, some of those type, dollar a bottle. They're not as hot, really. And put that in some buttermilk, not a lot of buttermilk, just enough to cover the fillets, and let them set in there. Gosh, I've let them set overnight like you do in water. If you like a little bit spicier fillet, that's a trick, folks. And then just dust that. Another thing on cooking the fish, Tony, I usually use about 2/3 cornmeal and 1/3 flour. All kind of different ways, but that flour just kind of makes it all adhere to the fillet. It seems like a little better. You can't hardly go wrong with a good mess of hybrids or sand bass. And I know Daryl is, I think, if I'm not mistaken, this tonight, he's got plans to have a fish fry over there at his place. So they'll probably be talking about Tony Parker that put them on them. I can see it happening right now, Tony. This fishing there at Cooper, of course, who knows, but it's steady as the polar star right now. And I would think it, I don't see any change in it in the near future. Do you see anything that might, create the fish to get off any, or what do you think?
Well, no, I, Luke, I really don't. And every time I try to second guess something, it bites me in the rear end.
It's the outdoors. Yep, but, I know.
But right now, the sand bass fishing is as good as I've ever seen on Cooper. We're actually averaging 100 fish a trip right now. That sounds like a fish story, but it is the truth.
I'll break in right now. There is absolutely no question about that. I was there this week with you. Yeah, you're right.
The hybrids, one day we'll get on the hybrids real well. The next day we won't. But every day the sand bass, it's just as much action as you want. I'm leaving biting fish to try to go find bigger fish, which I've done that with you. And, it is just off the chain. The action is just as good as it gets.
Tony, we are about out of time. Folks, we are visiting with Tony Parker down at Cooper Lake. We've got time, Tony. What's the best way to connect? On Facebook, and then give them a phone number.
My Facebook page is Tony Parker Fishing Guide on Facebook. And the best way to get in touch with me is to call me or send me a text at area code 903-348-1619.
Tony,
again, that's 903-348-1619.
Gotcha. And folks, you can always contact me there through catfishradio.com. That's my radio site, and I can get you hooked up with Tony. Thank you, Tony. We'll get you back soon.
Luke, thanks for having me.
Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you so much for tuning in to today's show. Remember, you can listen to the archive of our shows at ketr.org. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smokin' Tex Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, Darton Archery, Snaplock Hunting Blinds, Pyramid Air, Sightmark, maker of the Photon XT, and Catfish Bubblegum.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.